horses and feathers and blankets with purple crosses and flowers and cards for dearest Mo. And over the road there's an abandoned fridge.
So yesterday or the day before, you sent that picture of like this incredible bank that you have in front of you.
Yeah.
What was it like? What
so our friend, it's like our friend found us this, it's like this Chinese restaurant that's in the basement of a Japanese restaurant, like Cantonese, you know, like big ass, like 14 person table, Lazy Susan vibe. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so we went there for my friend's birthday on Friday night. And yeah, it was sick. Like we had like crab soup, Peking duck, what else? Oh, fucking fried lobster.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, it was insane.
But lobster's fucked. Like, getting lobster in a restaurant in Stockholm is like a speed run into, like, depleting all of your financial assets.
I personally prefer crab. Like, we had deep-fried soft-shell crab, which was also fucking so sick. But I don't know. Like, we were, like, 14 people. It was a bring-your-own-wine place, so we didn't... It was like $50 a head, and I ate like a god. Like, it was so sick,
dude. That shit is so, like, I can't believe it's not more normalized to like have bring your own wine to like, or bring your own drinks to restaurants. That was a big thing in Auckland, like for the good spots or like for the pretty okay spots. They would at least always allow you to like bring your own. But I don't know, in bougie ass Europe, that's not a thing. You have to buy their shitty canned beer or whatever. You can't just like bring your own wine in. Like I'll bring my own wine to the theater and shit, but it doesn't like. If they're,
it's a different, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but if they don't offer, like, a good drink, at least allow people to, like, bring their own and enhance experience for everyone. Like, it just seems to make...
Sure.
But is there a corkage fee, like, if you bring your own wine at your spot?
Yeah, I think they just, like, do a table fee. But the vibe I was getting is that this restaurant was not operating legally. So they don't serve their own alcohol. They didn't... From the bill I saw, they didn't even bother with a corking fee. And, like... When it's a bring your own wine restaurant, it's not like bring whatever alcohol you want. It's like bring a bottle of wine per person and you get a corking fee. But they just gave us a mayonnaise bucket like filled with ice and just said like go off. They threw like two bottle openers on the table. So we were drinking like beers and mad bottles of wine on the table and like one of our friends just like open like a pre-made cocktail. Like, I don't know, it was I feel like that was a bit wild west, like it was not by the books in any way.
But no, that's sick. They were supposed to sick. But is that part of the, like in Montreal, is that spot like the only one that does like weird shit, like back alley shit like that, or are there certain spots you just have to know them? Is that like, you know, so what's, is that like one, the only one, or are there others like that?
No, there's a lot. Montreal has like a lot, or like Quebec has like a lot of rules around like the hospitality industry. Like you can't, like there's so many rules. So there's like, this place is like a bit out of the way. It's not really in the town. I had to drive like maybe 30 minutes out. And so yeah, there's some places that do some like questionable legal things, but it's usually pretty by the book, honestly.
But like, yeah, those spots, like, that kind of experience I haven't had in so long. Like, that's, again, something in Auckland I could, like, there are definitely spots I could think of right now. Even, like, in inner city, which would offer a very similar catering experience, which is just, like, kind of, you know, DIY, Wild West, like, definitely not being audited properly, kind of interior, kind of, like, experience. But in Stockholm or in Switzerland or, like, in Europe, in, like, the bougie parts of Europe I've been to have not been so generous in terms of, like, enjoyable kind of clusterfucky dining experience, which I sorely miss.
I don't know, I feel like I hear about some of these like weird like semi-legal back alley restaurants in Paris and stuff like that, but you know, I've never been to them.
But then I'm most concerned, maybe I'm just out of the cut, maybe they're happening, I just like am not in the right circles to really glean, you know, the underbelly of like bar table cuisine out here. But I wanted to, it also piqued my interest. You were saying, well, so the above floor Japanese restaurant, is that staffed by, like, are they two different, are they, like, different entities? Or are they, or is it, like, the Chinese restaurant staffs the Japanese restaurant, but they're actually a Chinese restaurant? Like, what is their relationship?
I think it's, yeah, I think some, one, like, they opened, like, they opened this Japanese restaurant as part of, like, what's it called when you open a chain restaurant?
A franchise, or, like.
Yeah, yeah, they franchise it, and then they're like, well, we're just going to open our own restaurant in the basement as well.
That's so sad.
So it's, like, I think it's, I gather that it's the same business, because I can't imagine another restaurant letting another restaurant open in the basement, but yeah, that's what it felt like.
That's so sick. But that's, I mean, I can't really express how much I love that. That's something when I moved, like, I guess the sushi in general has taken the world by storm, but in Stockholm, it's like, I think it's like the perfect storm of, like, very affluent community or very affluent society or very affluent city, a deep desire for, like, fish, and then, like, this, like, desire for Japanese culture, yeah. Or this aspiration. So, like, when I moved to the city, it blew me away. Every other store on, like, a street is usually, like, a sushi spot or some kind of, like, Asian cuisine spot. Usually sushi, because it's, like, the common, lowest common denominator of, like, Asian cuisine. And they're always staffed by, like, Chinese people. And then you just wonder, like, if they weren't so cucked by, like, the fetish for Japanese food, they would make way better Chinese food. So I'm just glad this your spot is, like, you know, fulfilling their own dream instead of being, like, subordinate to the stupid, I don't know, cuisine fashion.
Yeah, I think, like, we actually have better Chinese food here than we do sushi. I don't know, like, I'm genuinely unimpressed by, like, sushi restaurants, like here, like, I don't know, it's just, like, pretty whatever, or, like, very bad. So, yeah, then there's, like, a couple, there's this one other Szechuan restaurant here that's really, really good. Yeah, it's more, like, new, like, it's not, like, you know, the plastic tablecloth type of shit. It's, like an actual good restaurant.
Oh.
Yeah, it's good.
I'd be so keen to, like, give you, like, a tour of the Auckland, like Chinese cuisine scene, because, yeah, it sounds like there are a lot of similarities, which is weird considering they're, like, again, opposite ends of the earth, between where you are in Auckland. But Stockholm has, yeah, I, like, what you were saying in regards to, like, sushi being kind of uninspiring, I think, in, like, Western cities, I feel. I feel that in Stockholm, like, I would only go to a sushi spot because someone I'm with would be like, we should do it, but I have no, like, impetus myself. So that was one of your birthdays. What was, there were two, right? Or is the other one today? What's happening?
The other one got canceled. It like dropped down to like -37, which is insane. Like, it was unfathomably cold. So yeah, that one just got canceled. But for good measure though, because the Friday night one, we went after the restaurant, went to like a local, it's kind of like a new like Irish pub, and yeah, we hung out there for quite a while. It was actually really sick. Like, they have like a dartboard and pour Guinness, and they let us play music on the aux cable, which was really fun. So yeah, I don't know. I was pretty hungover yesterday, so I'm glad. Yeah, we didn't have to go out again.
Oh, dude, that sounds really sick. That's like a very wholesome, like, that's a really sick night. I'm glad that turned out so good. I can't imagine like a better end to a night than like being able to like aux DJ with like a pint of Guinness. So like that seems like, how can it get that much better? Especially following like the meal that you had, with the sounds of things. But then
yeah, no, it was fire.
But then if I can delve into are these like professional friends, or are these like friends outside of like your career? Or are they both? I don't know.
Yeah, no, they're like, this is my good friend.
Oh, okay, that's sick, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck you and these stupid, enjoyable experiences you have. I want my good friends to come to Stockholm, and so I can do shit like that with them. But no, good for you.
No, yeah, I would love to go to Auckland, though. Like, I know that, yeah, it seems like there's, like, a sick music scene there, too. So, I don't know. I kind of fantasize about it. It seems sick.
I feel like I've lamented about this before on the podcast, but yeah, like when I left Auckland, I was like almost certain that anywhere I go will like, you know, like just thinking about it like kind of mathematically in a way or geographically. New Zealand, tiny country, edge of the planet. Surely it's better and bigger out there. You know, anywhere that you go to, you go to fucking like on the Philippines, probably, which actually probably still better, but you know, anywhere could be better.
Yeah.
But so when I got to Switzerland and I was like, and I was kind of shocked at how shitty the indie or whatever the music scene was there. I was like, man, Auckland had something going for it. And it still does. Like to this day, I think the music scene is like really strong. Not just, but New Zealand in general, there's like a culture for it, which you don't find in a lot of places, which I've come to learn.
Yeah, that's what I gather. Like, I can't, not off the top of my head, but I know that there's like quite a few, like, you know, bands that I follow or like buy albums from on Bandcamp that are, it's like always New Zealand or something like that. So I gather that they have a pretty good scene going.
Yeah, I think that the thing that ties it together is just like there's like deep, like it kind of this synergistic or this commensal relationship between like hustling really hard and then being an independent musician. And I think that's a big part of like Auckland culture is everyone is like full-time hustling for like almost nothing. And if you're a musician with that kind of mindset, then like that's kind of the perfect, you know, you've kind of, the stew is good for you to
right.
Like, develop yourself, but they're often at times, you know, they're just broke, you know no matter how good someone is in Auckland, I think the obstacle they face is that the bag is really small, and everyone's competing for this tiny bag, so it's kind of always truncated. Yeah. Financially.
Are there like a lot of concerts going on in Sweden there?
There are some. I mean, there's some like shows when I came here, like it's a big thing here to do like forest raves, which I'm not sure if I've talked about on the podcast, but it's like, it's a big, have I talked about this?
Okay, before? Yeah.
Have I talked about forest raves before? Do you know?
No, but we do the same there.
Oh yeah, cool. Yeah. So, I mean, so it's something I never knew about until I came here, and apparently it's a thing to do where they'll just grab a bunch of like musicians and audio equipment, drive to some random forest and like host like a show, and it'll happen like, and all communication is like over Facebook, a Facebook group event, and it's really poorly disseminated. Like you really have to be a friend of a friend of a friend to like get the invite, and the invite will be, and like the location will be announced like to us before via like a coordinate on a Google map, like latitude, longitude, and you'll just get a blip in this fucking forest and then you go there, and people are doing their thing, so that's cool. Yeah. It's cool they have that, but I think in terms of like venues, like it's very rare to have people playing like established venues. I think the bar of entry is really high. So either they're in raves or right. You don't see them at all.
But do like bands go play there?
Yeah, it's a mix. It can be like very much like both. It's not just, I mean, they call it a forest rave, but the kind of genre of the acts that perform really vary from like people who you would expect they're like doing pyromancy, which are at every, they plague every fucking forest rave. It's like,
Jesus Christ.
You'll be there for like, you know, for 3 hours, and you know, it's time, people gather in a circle, like, oh yeah, it's the fucking pyromancy like demonstration time. And I don't know, they're just obsessed with it. It's so fucking annoying, I hate it. But the gigs can vary from like actual electronic music to just like get more like punk gigs to more rock gigs. It varies quite significantly.
Yeah.
How's it like in Canada? What's the scene like?
So what's like? Oh. Yeah, I mean, like, Montreal is a destination for bands to come. It's like, I guess it's way easier because they're already like every band that does a tour in the States is going to New York, and it's a pretty close drive, I guess, to Montreal. So they usually stop in. So I'm able to see some, you know, like some good stuff. I saw. Do you know the band Dry Cleaning?
Yes. What the fuck?
Yeah. They were here twice in like 3 months. I don't know why twice, but they have, I guess they have a huge following here, but I saw them the first time they came, or not the first time they ever came, but like I saw them maybe a couple months ago, and they were very fucking good.
But that's a really good thing to have. Like, I think that's something I've learned as well. Like being in Europe, there's kind of like a central band in Europe. Like if you're on the trajectory between like Paris, Berlin, and I know like Prague or something, then you're in like the, you know, the golden band of like, you'll catch.
Yeah.
Because they'll always make this European tour, like kind of go through then. Maybe they come south through Italy or something. Or, you know, or they go to Istanbul. That's like the typical kind of route. But in Switzerland, right. I was always a bit too far south to be on like the Parisian trajectory and the Berlin trajectory. And now in Stockholm, I'm a bit too far north to be in the trajectory too. I think, it's coming back to me now, but it's like Paris, Copenhagen, Netherlands or Amsterdam, and then Berlin. Like that line, if you're within that radius, it's so good for hitting bands.
Yeah, that's why it's like here we have, there's like Montreal and Toronto, which are very close. Well, yeah, relatively close to each other, and then also relatively close to New York. So any bands that's going around there, they may as well stop in those two cities. Yeah, which is cool because like I said, it's been, you usually get some good stuff coming up here.
But I guess even in the worst case scenario, like if they're only playing in New York, what's the commute is like 1.5 hours or something? Or how long does it take for you to get from Montreal to?
No. It's like a 7 hour drive, which
Oh,
isn't that bad actually.
wait, no, fuck that. What do you? No, dude, fuck that. 7 hours is forever. Because I actually I know why. Like my I had an impression looking at it again for Google Maps. I thought maybe it was like 1.5 hours, like by train or by like car or something. But if it's 7 hours, I guess you'll have to
The
like.
train is crazy. The train, they do some crazy like v rural like stop every 4 hour ride that takes like 24 hours for fucking no reason. It's like crazy.
That's fucked up, dude. Yeah, that is fucked. I mean, I'm saying,
I've never done it, but yeah.
but I have made trips in Europe where I've like gone the day before, like booked a hostel and then stayed for the night. If you know, if the gig
Yeah.
demands it. So I guess that's very possible. If they're in New York, you can. If it's a band you really want to hit, you could do a little like a 2 day thing.
Yeah. Like, but it's more of the, I usually do it the other way where I'm like, if I'm gonna be in New York, I check, like I'll check what's who's playing or whatever. But yeah, it's like it's a bit rough to kind of go out there just for a couple of days.
But also, like, I also have friends and like who will camp for the pleasure of camping, and I'm always like, wait, so one more time, what is the pleasure? Like, you guys don't have any of the amenities of like,
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
like, so what is it? You're playing hard mode? Like, what is this, like a role play
Yeah,
thing? Like,
yeah, yeah.
what are you trying to do?
Yeah, there's a guy I know that does like bike packing. Like he'll go on like long week trips on his bike and shit, and like sleep outside. That seems more interesting because there's like a goal. But like driving to the campsite and then just like getting out of your car and like making a fire and eating and then not getting back in your car and going home is wild to me.
Dude, it's fucked. It's actually like it's too much. You know, as you said before, like we came to this place in like human society and culture. We've discarded. You know, we don't need those things. We've moved on. We're not. We don't no longer need like a tinder and flint to fucking
Yeah.
get through our day. We can just like turn
Yeah.
the oven on. But nevertheless, these fuckers have just like found fetish and like or found something to be desired and like role playing as cavemen yet again. But whatever. Good God bless. But the bike packing thing. I've got friends who do that thing about like with hostels, and that to me seems really sick. Where you like have a route, and you like you bike a certain distance, you drop your shit off, you continue like that to me is pretty dope. Before I left, my partner who lives in Norrköping, as we know, she asked me like why I don't use a bus, and I just looked at it and I was like, 'cause I can't like I can't. Like I don't know if you have the same experience of buses like in Auckland there, like New Zealand there are no trains aren't like that popular to, I mean now we have a subway after like just as of late that's become kind of functional, but if you're like most of the cities or most of the parts of the town are connected via bus and the buses fucking suck, like I'm literally like, I have trauma from the buses, so when she asked me like why I don't use a bus, I couldn't communicate to her like that I'm afraid of buses like
Yeah, no, it's just like, yeah, like why don't you go, like have you been on the bus? Like it's not sick. Like I would do anything to never have to go on a bus again.
Yeah, no, but like I've heard, I think the buses here are actually like functional and good, but I just don't like, I just have too much trauma, I think, from buses from Auckland that I can no longer enjoy at all. And especially, as you mentioned before, the trains in Europe are so fucking functional. They come on time, they're
Yeah.
pretty reliable. I mean, for them, I mean, sometimes they can be, they're not always, whatever. For the most part, if they're late, I don't even care. Like, if they're late, I just go into the fucking train station and I can be fine. If a bus is late, I'm sitting in the fucking cold on this shitty shed. Like, it's not like it's not at all like equitable or like I can't really equate. Like, it's a way
Yeah.
worse experience. No, trains are sick here. I
Yeah, no,
love it. Go on.
I was taking a bus home from New York. We do like the overnight Greyhound. It's like just like I don't know, like $40 or something like that. And the overnight one is especially cooked because you get like I don't know, just imagine that, you know, the type of people that are on there. And I had done it a couple times at that point, but like this one We're just like travel, you know, like driving down this the road or the highway or whatever, and it's 4 in the morning or some shit like that, and the bus gets pulled over by the cops, and the bus driver got arrested because I guess he was drunk.
Oh my god!
So we had to wait on the side of the road for a new bus driver, and then obviously that took fucking hours. So I got left in Ottawa, which is not where I was trying to go. And missed my connecting bus to come. And it was just like a fucking mess. But like, I was like,
that's so funny.
Getting drunk driving a like 60 person Greyhound is really next level.
Hell no, I feel sympathy for him. Like you have to, I like he's just a victim. That's true. He's a victim of, you know, his circumstance. Like, how can you, you know, those, how can you fucking drive across? You know, like, he's the only innocent character. Like, you're guilty, the police are guilty, he's the victim here. Him taking alcohol to get through that is just him trying to, like, make the best of his scenario. I think he's, like,
Yeah, that's a good
point. Honestly, also, if he crashed everyone, like, on the Greyhound, and you all died in burning wreckage, could you honestly say that was better or worse than being on the Greyhound? You know, like, he would have done everyone a favor if he just fucking drove off the cliff. Fuck. Sorry.
Yeah, like every overnight Greyhound is supposed to end that way. They just don't.
Yeah, like they're just like projecting, or they're just like extrapolating. They're enhancing, they're accelerating the doomed, you know, the doomed experience by not running headfirst into like a brick wall, you know, off a bridge or something. The fact that they expand, that they let people survive that is a tragedy that people come out of it alive.
Yeah, it's true. It's like either you escape the Greyhound or you don't.
Yeah, that should be that. Yeah. But it's funny because I've only heard of the Greyhounds. I've never heard of a Greyhound. So let me preface this better. I've only heard of Greyhounds like secondhand, and in every instance, whether it be like in music or like through first hand accounts, I have never heard a good story about these buses. And that's something. About.
It's complete dog shit. It's like truly the worst. Like, somehow always the buses are always like 50 years older than they should be. There's always like the worst people on them. It's really incredible.
God. There are some things I want to experience, just, you know, like pachinko machines in Japan. I don't think it'll be fun. Right. I don't think I'll come out of it like as a better person. If anything, I'll like, you know, deteriorate my lungs substantially, but it's the idea of it that I'm like captured by. But Greyhound is one of those very rare few things which even the romance that I can construct in my head of it, I don't think is worth whatever trauma I will accrue from the experience. Like, I can't think of many other things like that. Like, I'm happy to do like jump out of like a plane or whatever, but the Greyhound sounds like there's nothing to be like really reaped from that experience.
Yeah, one day they'll have like a horror like VR
just a Greyhound
experience that is just being on a Greyhound.
It's like one of those like horror theme parks, but except it's like it's just like Greyhounds, like they drive in a circle, like, and that's the theme park. The American Dream by Greyhounds. The cost benefit is off. That's what I wanted to say.
That's what I was gonna say, like, even $40 for that shit is way too expensive.
What, it's $40? Did the Greyhound?
Yeah, it's like
that's what I mean. You have to be stupid to buy it. Like, you know, like, you honestly, like, not stupid, you have to be like really fucked. Like, yeah, I don't know.
No, it's true. It's filled, like, there's another one here called Megabus, and those ones are double decker, which I don't know if that's, it's honestly way worse. They don't just cram every, it's, oh fuck, it's so bad. Anyways, yeah.
I feel so
I could literally talk about this shit forever. Like, the amount of Megabuses and Greyhounds and shit I took to get to and from New York back when I was, like, younger is really unfortunate.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I want to say it made you a better person, but I honestly don't think it did. Like, I don't think Greyhounds make anyone a better person. The only way they do is if they kill them. But what was
that? Well, it's like I grinded for this view, and the view is me not being on a fucking Megabus ever again.
Oh, true. Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think anything really compares to, no, nothing can compare to a Grey bus. Like, nothing in the world, a Greyhound. But the last time I took a bus was from Uppsala, Uppsala is a city north. It's a student city north of Stockholm, to Stockholm on New Year's. So how do I? Let me preface this better. New Year's Day, I went to, my friend invited me for a dinner, like a very adult dinner, whatever. It was good. But then I was determined to go home. I didn't want to stay over the night. I was determined to go home the next day, on the 1st of Jan, whatever, New Year's Day, because I just didn't want to be in Uppsala. And then my only choice was to take a bus at 4:30 a.m. from Uppsala to Stockholm. And Uppsala is like a student city. And so it was really like the worst cauldron of sweaty fucking Swedish people I've ever...
Yeah.
I was like on this bus at 4:30 a.m. with everyone else who was in the exact same state of, you know, despair. No one wanted to be there. They're all sweaty, perspiring alcohol they had consumed. It was one of the worst bus rides I've ever taken. It took 2 hours. It wasn't that bad. Like, honestly, like, no one, like, attacked me. A sweaty guy tried to touch me, and I had to kind of get a bit, like, please don't touch me with him. But that's also why I don't want to take buses ever again. They're never good for me. They're just bad.
Yeah. It's not a good vibe at all.
No. Trains are where it's at, for sure.
All right, should we talk leather pants?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I bought like a, I tried on a pair of, I forget the name of the brand now, but they're like, they look pretty bad, honestly, but it's, I got them from a store that I can return them to. And so I was just like, whatever, fuck it. And they fit pretty well, except for they're like high waisted. And yeah, I guess like what I've done, I don't know, like it's just like, I couldn't not see like male stripper. Which I'm not like I'm not going there, but this was just a bit too far. Have you seen the movie Magic Mike?
No. Oh, no, I haven't. Well, why break it?
Okay, first of all, it's so fire. You have to watch Magic Mike.
Fuck, I have to Google it. Because I'm thinking, I was thinking, you know, in Taxi Driver, there's the gigolo guy who gets shot by...
Oh.
Yeah, is that male stripper or is that something different? Am I thinking...
No, that's like a pimp. He's like a, isn't that fucking, what's the, it's like really weird. Oh yeah, that's like Harvey Keitel.
Yeah. it's so funny.
That's so funny. Dude. And we're going on a tangent here, but like that casting is so funny.
No. Harvey is based, have you seen The Duelist? The movie The Duelist with Harvey and,
No.
It's like a fencing. Oh no, it's this movie about like a blood feud between two French officers, and Harvey in the film, and Harvey is like, you know, kind of dressed up in this like romantic like French fencer, like really beautifully, but he just, you really wonder like whoever his agent is like Olympic champion, you know, like they like literally like how did they sell Harvey into all these roles? Is so it's incredible. His acting is perfect. I love him, but. They could have found anyone else who
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, yeah, like, it's like, yeah, you're right. Whoever is his agent, like, they were not being paid enough.
Yeah.
Because he's, I don't know. I think he's a very polarizing actor. Like, I think that a lot of people consider him, like, a very bad actor. But, I mean, I think he had, like, a direct style. And, yeah, the fact that he got into like some pretty prominent movies, honestly. The Duelist looks so sick. Dude, there's this one photo of him in this like, I don't know, it looks like this like muslin shirt with like a kind of like a puffy sleeve, and he's got this French mustache. His hair is braided. I don't know. This looks fire.
But I mean, like,
I might have to watch this.
No, the movie is sick. Like, it's really good. It's really beautifully shot. The scenes are beautiful. The story is beautiful. But. They could have got. It didn't have. It could have been. It didn't have to be Harvey. They really like fought uphill.
No, yeah.
To get Harvey. You know. He looks great. No doubt. The braids. The rapier. Everything. His mustache. Beautiful. But also, anyone with those details. You know, anyone else would have been a bit more reasonable. I'm not gonna Harvey King. I don't want to take it away from him.
Okay. So now, but now I'm looking at photos of him, the Taxi Driver, like. This fit is so sick.
Dude, I know.
Like, I'll just detail it verbally, but like the white tank top with nothing else. He's got like a fedora, a black fedora type shit with like a white ribbon around it, a fucking puka shell choker necklace, and high waisted pants that are self buckled. Like, this is a insane fit.
No, but I want people to know, this is exactly how you feel when you wear a Rick Owens, like, a racerback tank. This is how you feel.
True.
You, like, you may not always emit this kind of energy, but this is the energy that, you're imbued with. It just does something to you. It changes, like, your perception. Like, it warps who you are. And I feel like, and this is how I feel when I put on, like, a pair of black trousers and a Rick tank. I definitely don't have any of this figure, but it's how I feel. Go on.
Yeah, putting on that tank top, it, like, your body fat percentage drops by 5. Dude, like, yeah, no matter what, you just lose, like, 5% body fat.
Hear that, people online? Don't go to the gym. Just buy Rick Owens. Sponsor us.
There we go.
Rick, you out there? We'll fuck Tyrone. We'll take a cut, and we'll do more for you. All right, so how do we get here? Magic Mike. Yeah, I haven't watched this, but...
Yeah.
The car salesman guy, he's also an American hero, kind of like Harvey. The car salesman.
Wait, actor. Who? What?
This guy. It's, I don't know his fucking name.
Channing Tatum?
Channing, wait, I don't. No. Okay, maybe this has to be cut, but you know this guy? He, like, sells cars. he's a really popular actor. Fuck.
Oh, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Is he the car salesman actor to you?
Because he's in a lot of car ads. Like, he likes... This, I think it's...
Really?
Think
it's, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's Ford.
Yeah. He's really fucking annoying in them, too. But I'm surprised... Like, why is... He... But he's also the... He's cast for the movie about the trans woman. Oh, my God. I'm so... You know, I'm
sorry. Oh, Jared Leto.
It was really popular at the time. It's a good movie. Oh my God, I'm blanking.
It is a good movie. But, I mean, again, Jared Leto is dog shit as he always is, but yeah, Matthew McConaughey is great in that.
You know, in American Psycho, Jared Leto acted in American Psycho.
Yeah, he's the blonde.
Yeah, who gets killed.
The you're too fucking blonde.
Yeah, which is, I didn't realize until the other day, or I heard it, and I was like, fuck, he's the same guy. I mean, Jared Leto is, definitely dog shit in like every capacity, but his canon, I want to say, like, his canon of bullshit, like, is, like, the fact that he's acting in American Psycho, and, isn't it called, like, whatever, the other movie, that's good. Yeah, good for him. Dallas Buyers Club, I finally fucking got it, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I put in Texas Million Movie, and it gave me Dallas Buyers Club. Thank God, man. Like, Google.
Texas Millionaires Guild.
Yeah, and it gave me... It's so funny. I kind of forgot that. First result, man. People, yeah. Not just me out there. People have, you know, done this.
Everyone's saying Google doesn't work. That's yeah. Bullshit. No, well, it works.
Who says that? It's clearly they're running overtime, man. They're thinking, you know, for you by far. I put us on this tangent, but reeling back, you bought leather pants. You felt too much like a male stripper.
I mean, they fit me, and you know, it's what it. It sucks because the leather itself is really nice, but I haven't really looked too much at the Carpe pants, but like these also have like side slit pockets. Leather pants should probably never have side slit pockets. There just seems something wrong there.
But then is there like an image in your mind? Or like, is there someone who you feel has really embodied the leather pants and that's kind of what you aspire to? Or like, what has, you know, where has this leather pant vision come from?
Right. I think it's just probably some sort of like, you know, like Nicolas Cage Wild at Heart type shit. Yeah. There's just something like extremely fucked about wearing leather pants, and that I want to be a part of, you know.
Yeah. I definitely think it's important. It's important part of the lived experience at some point in your experience to like at least purchase a pair of the pants. I was talking to someone recently, and I had no idea what he was talking about. I thought he was fucking with me. He was saying, well, I mean, but thinking back now, I kind of respect it. It's the same person who asked me about my Beauty Beast bag, because I was looking at his jacket, and he was talking to me about my bag. I was like, forget my bag. Look at your fucking jacket. He had this beautiful, like, goatskin leather jacket on that was, like, really beautifully worn. And then I asked him, crazy. It's a thing, I think, in, like, Sweden. Like, the leathers I have... There's some weird kind of like overlap between like like greaser culture and Sweden in this really weird way. Anyway, so
really,
yeah, like they really like big trucks, or they really like this. It's called reggae, where it's like in like the boonies in Sweden. It's very common, and sometimes you see them in the city. I have to really. This is beautiful. I love it so much. It's called a reggae. It's the culture of where they'll find like discarded, like gutted cars, and they'll do them up, like they'll soup them up, and they'll often get these really beautiful vintage cars. But it's not just like the you know, the process of building the car. It's the culture of the people who build the cars. Like they're kind of like these like greasers, like these like I don't know, how would you just like they're truly greasers. They just like have like the jeans. They love the, like they have probably the Confederate flag. They have all these attributes that like assign them to like this part of American history. And times you'll see them, they'll drive through town in their vintage cars they've like repaired and stuff. And I think so.
Is there like a similarity to like the Bosazuku shit in Japan?
Yes, I think it's similar. It's very similar. They don't have that kind of. They don't go as, don't have as much gel or pomade as they do. Mm-hmm. But they definitely like in terms of styling.
Yeah,
they take from, you know, they're riffing on a very similar source. And I think so. There's something about Sweden up here where like they. They really like, but some people in Sweden really like that part of American history where it's like very DIY, you're broke, and you like cars. It's like a weird idea of masculinity. But as a consequence of that, they really like leather jackets. So you find a lot of really cool leather jackets out here. And this guy at this thing had a really cool leather jacket. He was chatting to me about it. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because he had a dope leather jacket. Why did I start talking about this leather jacket? Where do we come from?
You were saying because he was asking about your bag.
Oh yeah.
Or your.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He asked about my bag, and then I was like, "Fuck my bag. Look at your jacket." Oh yeah. And I thought he was.
What was the fit like on the leather?
The what?
What was the fit like on this leather jacket?
It was just boxy. It was nice and boxy, like as if it was like an airplane, like an aviator jacket, kind of. It wasn't like an annoying, not like an annoying Alpha M1. Like it wasn't that kind of bomber. It was like very like kind of. I could imagine someone like being working at a mechanic studio all day, mechanic's garage all day, and then leaving with this jacket on, like really beautifully worn, had incredible lining, really nice interior pockets, really good zips, really well worn. He was chatting to me about the fact.
No, go ahead.
He was just saying that like, it's something he wanted to buy because he wanted to have this story when he was 62 to be like, I was 20, whatever, and I bought this dope jacket. He just wanted to have that story, and I was like, damn, that's kind of sick, but also goofy. And at the time,
I kind of fuck with it.
But at the time, I thought he told me that he was 62, and then I took the piss, and I said, I'm also 62, just to, like, fuck with him, because I thought he was fucking with me. But then I realized what he meant to say was that he wanted to be 62 and then look back having owned this jacket. I kind of was just like really rude to this guy who was really nice to me, and I felt bad about it. But it was also kind of funny.
Yeah.
Leather jacket.
But yeah, the leather jacket fit is the most important thing. Like, and I think that's what a lot of brands get wrong. It's really crazy, honestly.
Do you own a leather jacket? Like, where are you in your?
Yeah, I have one. Actually, no, I have two.
Oh no, no.
Go on. I have a shot perfecto with the star, like, you know, the star, it's called a one star, I think. It's got like the star studs on the epaulets. Yeah, that's another one from Japan that I got, just because it's like the ones I have here are like always shitty and long, and like they just look like shit. So this one fits pretty perfectly, actually. But I rarely wear it because it's, I don't know, it's pretty sick, but it's like a bit, you know, it really takes over the whole look. But then the other one I have is I have a Celine leather from 2020, but it's got like, it's like a bomber style, so it has ribbing on the hem and the cuffs, and the arms are pretty short, and like the body is super short. And yeah, it just fits super fucking perfect. And then it also it has like these like alternating stripes of suede and regular leather. So there's like a little bit more going on, which I think helps. Like, I think the thing is, some people like think that you have like that a leather jacket is already so much that you need to have some basic leather jacket, but I think that's wrong. I think you actually have to double down and have like a super ostentatious leather jacket.
Oh.
And then style it in a way that makes sense.
Oh, I don't know. So I'm with the former. Like, because I was thinking, I was hanging out with someone recently, and she was wearing a Perfecto, and it was so discreet. Like, maybe it's just something. Maybe just it was her the way she. Maybe it was her actually. Yeah. But like, her like Perfecto was so, kind of guised by like jeans. Like, it just seemed like the composition was not a lot, but the Perfecto fit into it really well. I think they can be really rare, because I think, as you pointed out before, that often the Perfecto becomes like the mantle, becomes the thing. But also, I feel like with wear, sometimes it does begin to dissolve a bit in a good way. Like the waist becomes looser, the leather becomes a bit like crumpled. I think that can be really at the benefit, which is also why I kind of feel a bit antagonistic towards people who own more than one leather, because then you divide the wear by two. Where I feel like
right.
a leather really gets enriched, like a leather jacket gets really enriched by just wearing the fuck out of it. That's
why like I have a hard time with the two, and especially the Perfecto, because it's not like I don't want to be wearing a Perfecto all the time, but and which is why like, yeah, you're right, I don't do it justice, but the other one, that's the one I wear like as much as I can.
But also the idea of like wearing a leather up is like so, like. I'm trying to, like, that's a really bold thing to do, like, to go toe-to-toe with a leather. Like, what is, like, are you thinking in, like, a Saint Laurent kind of way, where, like, everything's glammed up, like, you've got the shoes, you've got the jeans, you've got the leather, or, like, is it, like, what?
Oh, no, not necessarily. I mean, like, I'll always style something usually down, like, with jeans or whatever, but, like, what I mean is that the leather jacket itself has, like, I think what people think is like, oh, I just need like a simple leather jacket. But like, no, you actually need an insane leather jacket, and then you need to style that appropriately with like normal clothing.
Okay, yep.
And that's that's sick.
I agree. I think you need like someone needs their leather jacket, like the one. And like what's a good like, I don't know, example. It's like Excalibur. It's like their Excalibur, you know, only they can pull the leather jacket out of the rock. But that's a very rare thing. But that's also at the same time when I see people who have like a wardrobe full of leather jackets, you know that like exactly zero of these jackets are their jacket. It's just like very much like,
exactly.
But no, I think in my mind I like to have like, I'm maybe similar in that I have like one jacket, leather jacket, and that's all I go with. But I don't wear it enough at all. Like, it took me forever to find it. And when I found it, I'm really happy with it. But I just never find the time to wear it, which is kind of sad. I should be more.
Yeah, which one's yours? What?
I have like a really weird one. It's like, I think it's Le Malteri or it's Linear. A lot of my like carpet stuff I find online is like kind of modified by the previous owner. But this one,
yeah.
This one is, I think it's Linear, but I'm ready to be wrong. It's a Linear leather jacket, and the lining has been like, as is typical of most things someone acquires from Japan secondhand, the lining has been discolored from cigarette usage. So it's like, it's heavily,
oh perfect,
it's like at some point for sure it was like a pristine white, but now it's like a grayish beige like lining. But the lining is beautiful, the coloration aside, even with the coloration it's beautiful, but it's a very like faceless. It's a quite, it has a high luster, it's quite faceless, it has, and it's got a high collar. I should send it a picture. I'm really happy with it. It's like, it's got really narrow sleeves, extends to my knuckles. Yeah, it's really good for me in so many ways.
Yeah, the white leather is a flex. Like, that's...
Shit, no. So yeah. it's a black leather. But I do have that white leather shirt. That white leather shirt is something different. Is that...
Oh, shit. I thought that's what you were talking about.
No.
Yeah, that one's fire, too.
No, yeah, I've deceived you. I have a black leather jacket and then a white leather shirt. And I don't like enmesh them. The white leather shirt... which is, it's a funny thing to say, because who the fuck owns... But being in the Carpe Diem space, you understand that, like... There's a lot of leather shirts, like, and they just love making fucking leather shirts, and I've become fallen victim to it. But yeah, the white leather shirt is sick. It's pigskin, I think. It's the one pigskin thing I have, and it's dope. I've worn like 3 or 4 times. That is so hard for me to wear. I love it though, but I don't know what to do with it for the most part.
Mm.
Yeah.
So wait, what's this other one? It's like a bomber style or what?
No, the I don't know. It's like a linea. It's almost also like a shirt. Fuck. I couldn't play. It doesn't have like any. There isn't like a canonical jacket I could place it to. I don't think it's almost like a leather shirt that's got a zip instead of buttons, pretty much.
Right.
But it's double layered, so you have the lining is in this like cotton, which is that cigarette stained cotton, and then the shell is I think it's calfskin, but it's very satisfying to wear.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah. But then what's next? So what's next on your leather pant journey? Is there any other trousers in the crosshairs? Have you?
I don't know. Not really. It's like something that I've been just thinking about, like based on what else I have and how I normally dress, like it seems like it would fit in pretty easily. So it's kind of been on the back burner. I also have a problem where I buy so many pants and then I don't have enough like tops. Like I basically don't have any like knit sweaters or anything like that. So I have to like hold myself back sometimes, but I don't know. I think like I'll probably just get some leather pants made because they need to be so perfect. Like the fit needs to be, you can't have a bad fitting leather pant the way that like you could with a jean and have it be a little bit like, you know, have it work in like a disheveled way. The leather pants have to fit fucking perfect.
Yeah, it's a real careful balance. But it reminds me of like what pushed me to getting leather pants. I was very much like, I don't know if I talked about this, but it came back to me just now. I was in Switzerland, and Switzerland is weird that like, because there's a lot of agricultural towns between the big city, between Zurich and Basel and Bern and Lausanne. There are like a lot of smaller towns. And so there are a lot of farmers in these towns. And it's, I don't know if it's of the Germanic-speaking areas, but farmers will sometimes have, like, really thick, heavy leather trousers. And sometimes you'll see them in the cities. Like, they'll come in on the subways, on the trams, with their heavy-ass trousers. And that, for me, is kind of what I took. And they're not slim fit. They're not trendy by any means. They're just, like, very utilitarian for their day-to-day work. But that's also what kind of pushed me towards the Ismiak. Oh, that's when I realized that's what I wanted. Because my Ismiaki pants are very straight fit. They're very like, there's nothing, they don't have very much fashion going on beyond them being Ismiaki pants. But I really aspire to have like the pastoral leather pants. But those ones are like.
Yeah, I can kind of picture it. Mm. Some like Amish style shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. So, for me, like what I'm trying to find with like a pair of leather pants or something, it's just like something like. Okay, so we haven't really talked about this, but I have like a fit of jean that like I can't wear anything but this one fit of jean. And it's usually something that's like mid-waist, higher rise and straight leg, which I then always crop to be slightly above the ankle. I have like multiple pairs of the exact same fit, whether it's a blue jean, gray, black, like doesn't matter. It's like it has to be this kind of like slim, straight fit. And so like probably the leather pants would have to basically be like an emulation of that, but in leather. And so that's kind of why I think I'll probably have to get them made because it's really tough.
It's also interesting because I feel you mentioned earlier, even before that, oh no, let's go from there. Yeah. I think in a very similar scenario to the point where, like, now that I'm, like, I haven't bought clothing in, like, I've bought, I think, maybe two pieces of clothing in, like, 2 years. But I think 90% of what I wear when I go outside is, like, jorts, a shirt, and then, like, the same jacket. Or, like, I'll switch out the sweater and I'll switch out the jacket.
Yeah.
But I'll always wear jorts. To the point where now that I feel like I'm kind of going back to what I used to wear before pre-jorts, people are asking me if I've bought anything, or like why I changed my style. And I forget that like people don't know what I've worn outside of the jorts. Like I've really like painted myself into a corner, which is really funny. But it's been also interesting, people asking me like whether I've switched up my style, but rather that like they just haven't seen me wear anything but jorts before. But then for you, like, so... Why are you so glued onto like this particular jean shape? What is it about it?
Yeah, it's just like it balances out my proportions really well. It's just it's something that it just works for me no matter what. I don't have to like worry about anything. I usually do the same if I need like a pant, like a tailored pant. I'll do the same basic idea, like something that's not super tight, that crops above the ankle, and then all of my like shoe and shirt choices will go around that cut of pant. I don't know. I hate stacking when pants stack. I don't like super high or super low waisted shit. Like maybe low waisted could be cool in certain contexts, but like, yeah, it's just this one fit that it just works.
It's funny. It's weird how like stacking, like having trousers stack a certain way was such a big thing on Star's Eye Guys. Like it became a meme, but like it was kind of like the secret handshake, like how you stacked your, or like how would you stack your trousers? At some point it did like eat itself, but it was a weird time in internet fashion for that thing.
Also
to happen.
The like boot tuck versus non tuck thing, like that. Too much of that is seared into my memory. Like really, like I have like entire parts of my like childhood that are gone, but I'll remember these conversations.
Yeah, dude, it's like, where were you when Christian tucked his boot into his Dimitri Domo? Like, you know, like, do you remember that the Hall of Fame post? You know, it's shit like that. You know, you forget 9/11, but you remember like these fashion moments. Like, where were you when that guy dropped? Oh, this is too much. Anyway,
All right. Are you good?
Yeah. I wanted to ask, unless you have something you want to say?
No, I have a couple. Like, I have a... No, go ahead.
Yeah, mine's kind of lame, but it could be good. You were saying earlier before, like, thinking about, like, the kind of the ratio of pants to everything else in your wardrobe. And I want to, like, kind of project my experiences with that. I think I'm in this really awful place where I'll take stock about, like... I always feel better if I've got, like, the amount of shirts to sweaters to trousers... to jackets, like, in my head I have like internalized ratio, and if I fuck that up, it makes me like, I'm like, damn, I have too many of one thing, and I have to like cull them out. Do you like maintain? Do things have to be in like a specific like order in your head? Like, there should be these many shirts if I have these many jackets, etc.
Not really. No, I like, I have like an like a problematic amount of t-shirts. Like I kind of like have a, I guess like a band t-shirt, vintage t-shirt like collection, and then I just have like my favorite white t-shirt, like a lot of them. Because yeah, that shit's hard to find usually, or like I found the one that works for me, so I just bought like a shitload of them.
All right, fair. Yeah, definitely. Luckily you don't have these weird constraints that I force. I don't know where it came from. For some reason I'm like, I have this weird compulsion to like have everything in like to me it would be very unbecoming if I had more trousers than I had jackets or something. Like, there has to be a strict ratio, which doesn't make any sense. I've just made up these rules in my own head like years ago and stuck by them.
Yeah.
Yeah, never mind.
No, I think the only thing that I try to do is like everything that I'm currently wearing at the moment has to work with each other. Like all the jackets that I have to work with all the pants. I don't like this like ordering by outfit vibe. Like, I want everything to work cyclically.
Yeah, but that's such
maybe not cyclically, but like interwovenly.
But that's such a high bar, I feel, to have everything like in the complex of things to have them be like exchangeable, be able to like mutate them without like concern. And I think it's, but it's also maybe all something that's like that improves with time, you know, like your understanding of this combination might, you know, might expand your ideas a lot. But that is kind of impressive. I agree, like having like, let's say, like having a pair of trousers that only works in with one particular jacket is so lame. I feel like it should be a bit more, yeah, like mix and matchy. Like, you know, I always think about, you know, parks. Sometimes you have those like children's parks. You have those like those 3x3, like there's like these squares that you rotate around and you can change like the head, the torso and the legs sometimes, or whatever it can be, the combination can vary. That's what I want my wardrobe to be. I want it to be so that if I shift to whatever, you know, I'm happy. Like, no matter where I shift to, I'm always happy.
Yeah.
That's the goal for me. But that's all I want to say.
Yeah, that's basically how I feel. But the problem is like I've it's not really a problem, but like I've come to understand the proportions that I need to like make myself like feel comfortable. that like now I just like hyper optimize all my shit to fit into those proportions. And yeah, like it's like I won't even bother trying shit on it unless they fit into those exact ideas. Which is cool, but also like I basically can't buy shit. Like I just can't, like I can't find stuff.
Yeah, I'm really like when I think of my earlier stuff and how like blasé it was about buying shit online, not really knowing, having that much orientation. In a way, like I think also Archaic said this, like you know, having the opportunity to like just buy really trivially and kind of speed run learning fashion is quite interesting, but only if you like use it as like a means to understand yourself. But yeah, like comparing my like my adventurous like past self and now, I feel like I'm much more static. You know, like my idea of what I want to wear is very concrete, and if it doesn't fit that model, then I don't know where it fits, which
Yeah.
is a shame, but also I'm kind of happy about it. I'm not so like dynamic in that sense.
Yeah, it makes it better because you're not like you're not fucking up as much. Like you should, I don't know, ideally like I want to get to a point where I fuck up as little as possible and I feel good as much as possible.
Yeah. It's also nice, like, to having to the idea of having like a conservative idea of how you want to dress, and not having to like redefine or playing the stupid game where you feel like you have to. I feel like I'd have to redefine my beliefs depending on like what I wear. Although I don't think that's ever been true. I think I've had this weird like I think I've managed to extract myself from what I wear, but it is nice to kind of you know have some kind of concrete form that doesn't jump around too crazy. Although I think it has been
Yeah.
surprising to my friends when I've when I've when they've seen me not wearing jorts, they feel like I'm a whole different person, which is like.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, damn, I've always been me. This is, I've always been like this. You guys just didn't know. Anyway, what did
Yeah, exactly.
you had something? What was brewing in your head?
Oh yeah, no, I just had something completely off topic that we could end with, but
Yeah.
I watched did you watch have you seen the movie The Menu?
Oh, dude. Oh, is that? No, I haven't.
It's new. I think it's 20. I think it came out like last year. Yeah, fuck.
Is it
Maybe we should try to coordinate some movies to watch so we can
yes.
talk about them.
Well, this actor is dope. He's the English actor. Isn't
Ralph
it?
Fiennes, yeah,
Yeah.
he's so sick.
Yeah.
He's like, he's in Red Dragon.
What?
He fucking crushed it in Red Dragon. He's the bad guy, like the killer in Red Dragon.
That's fucked.
You know the one that's like, oh fuck, he's so sick in that like the scene where he works at like a photo developing lab with a blind woman, and they I don't know how they do this, maybe it's prosthetics, but they give him like that like cleft palate thing where his
Yeah.
like lip is broken at the
Yeah.
top.
Yeah, like I think Joaquin Phoenix has that too, right? Or am I no.
Exactly, yeah. He does, he does.
Wait, am I looking? You're talking about the English actor. I'm looking.
Ralph Fiennes or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, good. We're on the same page. I don't think I've seen this film. I don't think I've seen Red Dragon. Why do I
You've
think
oh
no,
shit.
no, dude. But the cast is stupid in this film. What the hell?
Red Dragon's so crazy. It's like so good. Oh fuck, Harvey Keitel's in it. Wow, what a nice
Yeah,
way to end a nice
dude.
finisher.
Am I looking at the right film?
Yeah, okay.
No.
Damn, have you seen the Hannibal series?
Why am I? Okay, wait. So I googled Red Dragon Ray Liotta, but that's not the right guy, is it?
Oh no, not Ray
Yeah,
Liotta.
I was gonna say like it has Ray Liotta like that the other English dude, but no. But this is okay. No, I'm lost. No, I'm so confused. I've seen Hannibal. I watched it as a child. I haven't seen Hannibal in a long enough time. Red Dragon, I need to watch.
Boy, have you seen it?
Yeah, but as a child,
Okay, yeah.
like,
So
yeah.
they also they that it's such a good movie. Like they have like the Yeah, it's like Edward Norton, Anthony Hopkins, I think Philip Seymour Hoffman's in it, but there's like a big part of him, like there's, I won't ruin too much of it for you. It's a fucking old movie, so you've had enough time to watch it at this point, but yeah, I'll let you get to that. But yeah, they have like a there's like a part of it, the movie with like William Blake, like the painter. It's a sick movie.
Well, yeah, no, I'll definitely. But yeah, no, Ralph, have you watched In Bruges? It's like, is it In Bruges?
Oh no. Yeah,
Am
yeah,
I,
yeah.
have I?
It's weird because this is an old ass movie and no one I feel like no one talked about it for so long, and now it's just come up. Like every 2 weeks, someone talks about it to me.
In Bruges.
Yeah.
No, it's probably just me. I feel like every time we go in here, I mention this film to you. I'm not obsessed with it, but it has Ralph Fiennes is in that film, also as antagonist, and he's such a fucking good actor. Like whatever he's in, he's got like the Midas touch. He could go to fucking like Winnie the Pooh and turn it into like I don't know the lighthouse. You know, he's just has that effect. like Willem Dafoe. Willem Dafoe can turn shit into like wine. Like apart from that, have you seen the Willem Dafoe movie that's him like as it's like Blood of Christ or something? Willem Dafoe?
Oh, is it not The Last Temptation?
Maybe it is.
No.
Wait, Last Temptation. Cause
Yeah.
That film was so fucked. That's the only Willem Dafoe movie I will not co-sign. It is so fucking arduous to watch. It's awful. It fucking sucks.
It sucks because as much as Martin Scorsese is the absolute GOAT, that movie is... I don't think I've ever turned off a Martin Scorsese movie without finishing it, except for that one. It's like the one of the worst movies of all time.
Every time I think about it, there are things I remember that I wish I didn't remember. Like, there's a part of that film, came back to my mind, where, like, I think his mother's a leper. So in the film, he travels to a leper colony or something and, like, tries to re-find his mother and his sister, who are lepers. And it's such a horrendous fucking scene, not just by the fact that they're trying to depict lepers in this, like, grotesque way, but also the whole thing. Like, it's just shit. It's just a shit fucking film with a shit fucking story. Like, it's so bad.
It's crazy because it's, like, it's got really, really good ratings. It's Martin Scorsese and Paul Schrader, the other GOAT, wrote the fucking screenplay. I don't understand. It's like unwatchable. It's so bad. Like, why does Jesus have like a fucking Brooklyn accent? It's insane.
It's so nuts. But look, let me tell you about a Paul Schrader story that I have in my fucking vault. So when I moved to Basel, I had no orientation of the city. I had my first European city I'd ever moved to. First time lived overseas independently, and so I went to the cinema to like kind of find. I feel like I think Zizek says this, or maybe it's Sontag or someone. They're in a cinema. Maybe it's not neither of them. But I feel in a cinema. No, maybe it is. Anyway, you're so displaced. Like a cinema is such a vacuum of a space. You know, you just have the screen, and you're all in isolation in this black box. It's like kind of like divine experience. You're all kind of like subservient to the screen. And so, of course, when I went to Europe, I found like refuge in the local cinema, and they had an incredible international local like cinema in the city. And I think in the second week I was there, they had like an international film festival. And for some fucking reason, somehow they wrangled Paul Schrader to do a talk in the cinema during like the week. And at this time, I had no idea who he was, but I had been watching his films like compulsively, many of which feature Harvey yet again. I'd been watching them like compulsively during that week, you know, just because they were featuring him a lot, or featuring his movies, including Taxi Driver. What was it? No, he wasn't. No, but he was. I think he wrote Taxi Driver or something. Anyway,
I think he helped write it.
Yeah. And he was talking about the making of it and stuff during the talk in the movie. So I was there, and it was so weird because apparently at the time, I mean, from what he was saying, he could barely see. He just had this really intensive laser eye surgery, so he's pretty much blind. And they got him to go to the cinema in Basel to give a talk about his musical career. And I feel like I was so impressed because he was so like generous with his thoughts, despite like the circumstance of him being like mostly blind in fucking Switzerland, talking to a room of fucking strangers about works he made like 40 years ago. It was such a weird place to have been, but I loved it.
That rocks. So wait, you met him, or you just saw him talk?
Yeah, I was in the cinema. He was taking questions. I didn't have the nerve to like ask him anything, because I feel like everyone was just asking me about like Taxi Driver. Which is fair, but he has really good work about like blue collar workers in America. Like his over, he's fucking sick.
Right.
But yeah, that's a pitiful story. It's weird.